D1039 Ticonderoga, WAMQHD 1051 Great Barrington, WWESHD 88.9 Mount Kisco.
Good morning and welcome back to the Roundtable. We have an exciting segment to talk about because it's the 25th anniversary of the Hudson Valley Shakespeare Festival. It began in 1987 and makes its home under a specially designed tent theater on the banks of the Hudson River on the grounds of the historic Boscobel House and Gardens in Garrison, New York. The Hudson Valley Shakespeare Festival is dedicated to producing the plays of Shakespeare with an economy of style that focuses energy and resources on script, on actors, and audience. This season, they present Love's Labor's Lost, Romeo and Juliet, and the 39 Steps. Hudson Valley Shakespeare Festival's Artistic Director Terry O'Brien and Associate Artistic Director Chris Edwards join us this morning to tell us more about the season. Terry is on the phone. Chris is here in the studio. Gentlemen, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
A great pleasure. Terry, always nice to have you on the program. I thank you for making the time in your schedule. I'm sorry you can't be here, but it's very nice that you can join us via telephone. Give us a sense of what this 25th anniversary season means to you.
Well, we first of all, it means like it's been a long time, but I feel like every year, to a certain extent, we have to not reinvent ourselves, but it's really important that we just sort of feel like, to some extent, we're starting from scratch and we're starting with you know, something that's new. And I think in this case, we have two plays that we've done before. We did Romeo and Juliet about, I think, 11 years ago. We did Love's Labor's Lost, I think, 16 years ago. And then we've never done the 39 Steps. And it's a series of projects that really complement each other beautifully, I think. I think Romeo and Juliet, well, Chris will talk about that. But Love's Labor's Lost is a very sweet, poignant romantic comedy that's very, very funny, and it shows Shakespeare kind of at his verbal best. And 39 Steps is a very, very theatrical kind of send up of the 1939 or is it maybe 1935 Alfred Hitchcock movie of the same name, where they use four actors to perform something like 130 different parts. And one of the actors plays one part, one of them plays three, and then the other two play the other 126 parts or so.
Do you get a sense, Terry, of being the continuity, if you will, for all 25 years? Do you get a sense of, okay, we did this 10, 12, 15, 16 years ago, and yes, you may be in reinventing yourselves in some way, shape, or form, but you see a growth of the company from one production to the other?
That's what I hope for anyway. One of the interesting things about our audience is that our audience, once people start to come to see us, they come year after year after year, and many of them have seen us for 15 or 20 years or even longer. So they know our history. And they know that it's, you know, they can tell us, oh, yeah, I remember when you did that, you know, when you did that show that other time with this other guy. So partly it's important for us to you know, to try to make things new so that the audience doesn't, you know, that so that our audience is challenged into going into new places, even with a familiar script. But I think it's even more important for us to go back to a script that we've done before and see what's new in it, but also to see what's for me personally. I've done a few plays with about 10-year gaps between them, and I find I have a completely different relationship with the play than I did, you know, things like having children, buying a house, all these things will change my relationship with the contents of a play that I'm maybe already familiar with.
So in directing Romeo and Juliet, Chris, how do you approach this work that is, as Terry says, a very familiar script?
Yeah, it's it's a quintessential love story, and it's challenging because there's so many people that have ownership of that play. For a lot of people, it's the first time they've ever been exposed to Shakespeare. So I think in approaching Romeo and Juliet, one of the things that I was really concerned about was that it needed to be about young people, sort of trials and tribulations of young people, watching them go through, you know, the hooray of first love and also the pinch of first love. So we really focused on the youth in the play across the board, not just with the lovers and Mercutio and Tybalt, but also the parents were younger. You know, they were middle-aged parents, 30s to 40s. So we focus on that, but I think the major thing that comes across in the production is the focus we put on the idea of family and how everyone in the play seems to be trying to hold on to an idea of family or to redefine what family is. So that was a major way we approached it, but we also took a very collaborative ensemble approach to the rehearsal process.
It is set. What is the setting of the play?
Well, we've created our own world. We've done a contemporary Elizabethan and Victorian mashup. Very seldom do we set shows in a time period at Hudson Valley. And philosophically, one of the things that Terry talks about, which I agree with 100%, is once you set it in a time context, then you're battling the inherent the dramaturgy in the play to fit the time period, and so it tends to bring the play into a more of a sharp focus instead of letting it breathe and resonate. So it's in what I called in our rehearsal process a little bit of now and a lot of back then. So that's sort of our time period.
And Terry, expand a little bit on that, because a lot of times in productions you'll say, okay, we're going to put it in the 30s, or we're going to do this, we're going to go back to the original time period, or we're going to do it in a contemporary setting. And it's, in some ways, it seems as though you're going for kind of that what producers of even the original Batman film, where you say, you know, we're going to have the old cars in a new city with cell phones. You want a little bit of everything,
right? I mean, I think that, and I agree with what Chris is saying. I think one of the things is that if you try to force a play into a very specific period of time, you will frequently throughout the play run into places in which the play just doesn't fit that time. On the other side of that, if we did a play in, you know, what people refer to as traditional Shakespeare style, first of all, that's not really valid, because when Shakespeare did their plays, they just sort of had a hodgepodge of dress that was mostly just the dress, the Elizabethan dress. So even though they were doing Julius Caesar, they didn't you know, do period research and dress up in togas. They were essentially wearing, you know, what they could put together. But if in our case we did period research and did Julius Caesar and had all these different togas, people, the togas might indicate, for instance, that somebody has higher status or lower status than somebody else, but our audience wouldn't necessarily get that immediately. Whereas if we dress them in clothing that we're more familiar with, that's closer to our own time period, then we can immediately understand who a person is by how they dress when they come onto the stage, and then that piece of the understanding of the story is finished, and we can move on to telling the story specifically. So I think another major issue is trying to remove the barriers between the stories, which are 400 years old, and our audience's ability to understand and enjoy them.
So with that said, are these kids, you would think of these kids dressed in jeans? And
there's some of them are in jeans, but they also have Napoleonic jackets, Victorian corseted vests, very bright colors. It has a very anime manga feel to it as well. So, and then the music of the piece is contemporary and classical mashed up. So it has a shot to the old, but it's very rooted in the now as well.
Which it shows. I mean, obviously, some of this is artistic. It's what you want to do. It's mm-hmm. what the stamp that you want to put on the piece. Mm-hmm. But also, it's practical, and it shows the relevance of a work that was written 400 years ago.
Right, that it's still viable, and that the problems of two kids in Verona in, you know, the Middle Ages or the Renaissance period are no different than two kids now, you know, in 2012.
Mm.
And the parents, and, you know, as Terry said, as you go through this play, it evolves with you. You see it as a child, you know, and read it in school. And it's a very different experience from when you become you know, a parent yourself. So it's across the board.
You touched on this earlier, Terry, but when you look at your direction of Love's Labor's Lost, you're working with a similar philosophy.
Right. I mean, in my case, I had never done Love's Labor before. We did a production of it under a different director a long time ago, but I had never actually been in it or gone through it myself. So for me, it was kind of a new experience unraveling it and trying to figure out a way to take something actually that was really written for a specific audience. I think it's kind of like if we would listen to if we went 400 years in the future and played a Louis C.K. video for people, they would be slack-jawed with a lack of understanding of what he's talking about because of how contemporary it is.
Yeah.
In our case, Love's Labor's Lost, a lot of it a lot of it was written to appeal to certain in-jokes that were popular at the time, probably, you know, in the month in which the play was written. But like with all Shakespeare plays, there is a lot more, I would say, that's universal, that as Chris says, it was relevant then and is relevant now and hasn't changed and probably won't change. And so for me in that case, I just tried to focus and locate all the stuff that's true to us all always. And then some of the jokes, are you can understand what's going on in the jokes because we've read the footnotes and we know what we're doing, but you may not necessarily understand the words. You can, however, get what's going on between the two people who are playing with each other.
Mm. How much do you worry about that of the audience getting everything?
Maybe a little too much. I don't know. I mean, I think that for me, the most important thing to do is to make sure the audience stays with us as we're going along, and part of it is making sure that the script is really clear, and then part of it is making sure that the actors know what they're doing with each other. Because even if the people don't necessarily understand every single word, if they can tell that there's really something going on between the people who are on the stage, then they'll move along with the story. But if the audience has to try to decode something or if they get lost for a few seconds, then the play has moved on without them, and then I think you've really done a disservice to them. So it's really important to me that the story is clear, and in Shakespeare's case, the stories are so great, but that's kind of what I think the primary focus of my work is just to try to make them clear.
And if the actors don't get it and you don't get it, then we're not going to get it.
That's right.
That's right. It's really our job to do that. We always say you shouldn't have to bring your complete works of Shakespeare's book to the theater for any other reason than to sit on it to get a better view.
You shouldn't need reference material on the way home. Right. The Hudson Valley Shakespeare Festival runs through September 2nd, the 25th anniversary. Very exciting. For showtime and ticket information, you can visit hvshakespeare.org. hvshakespeare.org or call the box office at this phone number, 845-265-9575. 845-265-9575 or again, hvshakespeare.org. Chris Edwards is the Associate Artistic Director and Director of Romeo and Juliet. Terry O'Brien is the festival's Artistic Director and Director of Love's Labor's Lost. And the third production is The 39 Steps. Gentlemen, I thank you very much for being with us. I wish you all the luck in the world. And thank you so much, as always, for being with us. And congratulations on your 25th season.
Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Joe.
A great pleasure. Thank you. Again, hvshakespeare.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.